This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites, and it's Wednesday, the 28th of December, and in the studio today is
Jeff Sandhu, and it's another sad day today. Goodness. We were just talking about it yesterday. Oh dear, Carrie Fisher's passing away is just too much for a Star Wars fan. That's why I'm actually wearing like a Star Wars Rogue One t-shirt. We've lost many, many big names this year. Anyways, we got to get back onto the track, onto the show. So Pokemon Go, they really showed the world the power of mobile gaming and the huge, you know, pop culture frenzy it caused earlier this year. And over in China, they've taken the Pokemon Go concept and changed it to something that's, if it's really, really China. So Alipay, the online payment arm of tech giants Alibaba, they've taken Pokemon Go's concept and used it to create a game to give out, yes, you've guessed it, ang paos.
Of course. It's China.
Yeah.
So instead of walking around and finding Pokemons, you actually walk around and find ang paos and collect real money.
Yeah, that's very clever. Yeah. So the money collected will be deposited into your Alipay account. It's a free game that gives you money just for walking around and doing nothing. So you can tell this is going to be a huge success here. And all this is happening inside Alipay's ecosystem itself. It's China's most popular mobile payment app with around 450 million active users. And it's festive featured activated ahead of Chinese New Year, which is happening exactly a month from today.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Okay. Yeah. So what's interesting is that Alipay representative told Tech in Asia that the game will be a permanent fixture in the app. And the guys at Tech in Asia, they've tried it and they found hundreds of ang paos nearby them. And this is in China, by the way. And each cash grab is accompanied by a username, a location, as well as a clue from that person about where exactly to find it. You have to be precisely at the right spot in order for you to pocket the money. So there's no cheating. Like, you know, Pokemon Go people used to drive around, or you used to, you know, take an Uber and drive around, and then you could just swipe. So this, you actually have to be at that, you know, spot, at that GPS spot exactly, and then on your phone you will, you know, you will show you get an ang pao.
Yeah,
and
but also I find that Pokemon Go here has just sort of died.
It's now, I think it's only the fans are playing it.
Yeah.
You know, all the people who just run around in the park, and you know, they were just the fad. Yeah,
so. Right. Well, you know, this is actually pretty cool. So not sure if this could be something that could work in Malaysia, but you know, it's money.
It's money. Yeah. So anyways, moving on to another story.
Yeah.
What do you think of when I mentioned Venice, Frida?
The gondolas, the food.
Yeah. You know, the wines and stuff,
Italy.
You know, the beautiful scenery and all that, right? Well, soon you will be thinking about incubators when people mention Venice, because there's a farm just outside Venice that's creating or nurturing tech talents. That's the same way that farmers grow crops, right? So it's called the Hitch Farm, and it's just on the outskirts of Venice, and that will soon be Italy's most advanced technology education campus, providing all levels of education from primary school to a master's degree from students all around the world. The CEO and the founder head of Hitch Farm, Ricardo Donadon, he said that the biggest challenge their country will face in the next few years is forming the next class of innovators. And I think, you know, what an amazing challenge to actually have compared to, you know, other nations. They are actually thinking of creating the next biggest, you know, innovators, right? They've also chosen Carlo Carraro. He's the former president of this very
Università Ca' Foscari.
There you go. Yeah, so that's based in Venice. It's actually one of Italy's most prestigious public universities. So they've picked him as the head of education, and the school will offer robotics, AI, and also data science and coding classes.
See, next time, you know, one day when I go to Venice, it's work.
It's for work.
It's for education.
It's really for work.
So this campus will be built over 300,000 square meters of Venetian countryside, and it'll be home to more than 2,000 students and over 240 staff members. It also boasts about 270,000 square meters of green space. And just a stone's throw away from the farm, there's a 3D animation school called Big Rock, which they claim that 99% of all 3D animated movies in the world have one of their students on their team.
Yeah.
Who
so
knew?
Yeah, so Donadon has always been passionate about gardening and farming, and he actually made his money by selling his own own digital agency in very early 2000s for around $14 million. And then after spending a year of gardening, in 2005, he decided that, you know, he's going to buy the farm next to where he was working and transform it into something where young entrepreneurs can benefit. And in the first 11 years of activities, Hedge Farm has invested about 24 million euros, which is way above the average investment happening in the country, with four main exits that brought in profits about 10 times compared to the initial investment. They were dreaming really big, and then they soon realized that it's impossible for an Italian company to do a scale, global scale. Yeah. And back then, Donadon said there was only about 20 million internet users in the country and language barrier was massive, right, and there was a lack of infrastructure. But because things have caught up now, Hedge Farm is an international hub of innovation. It's a unique model and a clever mix of Italian tradition and a true international entrepreneurial mindset that puts connection with corporations and startups. After more than 24 million euros invested in the last 11 years, they now have about 550 people working at the farm, 86 startups in their portfolio, and 7 buildings with 3D printers, robots, and drones at the farm. And at the Hedge Farm, early stage tech companies and tech startups can work and live together in a farm-like environment where talents and business can really, really thrive. Events, hackathons, communities, mentorings are all located here. Mm. And it's Venice. Imagine the scenery that you would get every single day when you're working
next
on
year,
your
next year, next
million
year.
Dollar startup, right? So as a corporate accelerator, Hedge Farm tries to invest in a minimum of 20 startups a year. This is also the birthplace of Depop. It's an online marketplace that's recently just secured an $8 million US dollars worth of investment from international investors, from the likes of Belderon Capital. Mm. And in November 2015, the farm went public. It has since lost about 25% of its value, but they're doing very well still. And here are the three main components to the farm's business model. So the first one is the investment together with corporate ventures. So Hedge Farm invests in early stage startups and scale-ups through vertical accelerator programs. The second one is providing technology consulting services for traditional businesses. Their clients include like Diesel and Porsche in Italy as well. And finally, perhaps the most importantly, is education, the pillar that Donadon believes in the most. Hedge Farm has raised about 60 million euros to create Hedge Campus, the first real international education program dedicated to forming the next generation of innovators.
You see, when you look at this, and it's a great story right now, but it's 11 years in the making.
11 years
it's
in the making.
When things were not in place, and of course, then of course you see the fruits of your labor and your farm.
Exactly, yeah. You know? It's your farm.
11 years on, but you know, this is something very interesting. You know, yeah. Venice, it's work. As Italy looks to be one of the emerging enterprises, as the prizes in the European startup ecosystem spectrum, initiatives like Hedge Farm could be the spark for the Italian nation's next great renaissance.
Yep, it could be, yeah.
All right, we're taking a breather here, and we've got The Killers with Bones. Stay tuned, and we'll be back with a story on Cobots, which is basically human-robot collaboration. BFM 89.9.
Blues, folk, metal. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Enterprise BizBikes, Frida Liu together with Jess Sandhu. Another day, another story about robots and automation, and this isn't even our only crazy tech story for this episode.
Yeah, so let's get into the world of robotics. Report 2016 that was released by the International Federation of Robotics, the IFR, and how it forecasts that compact, user-friendly, collaborative robots will become a key driver in the automation market.
Okay, so they're calling them cobots, apparently, and the report predicts that the worldwide annual sales of industrial robots to increase by at least 13% on average per year from 2017 to 2019. Basically, what they're saying is we're in that time for the big breakthrough of human-robot collaboration, allowing robots and humans to work safely together without any barriers while increasing productivity, efficiency, and quality. I've watched too many movies. I don't know if they're safely together.
So a good example of this is Universal Robots, who are considered market leaders of cobot industry. They've installed about 10,000 cobots worldwide, which reflects the growth of potential of this automation technology. And they also enable medium-sized enterprises to optimize their competitiveness on a global stage.
Okay, so coming back to the report, the industries that are predicted to adopt cobots include the automotive industry, as well as the electronics assembly and machine tool industry. And you thought all this going down in the West? Well, think again. These are actually key great areas of growth in Southeast Asia, which is where Universal Robots are seeing some strong traction. So their robots are already being deployed employed on the assembly line, already working hand in hand with employees by doing all the dirty work. Mm-hmm. And it's only expected to grow within the next couple of years.
Yeah, so of course China is predicted to be like the main driver of this robot growth. There are no real surprises there. The country will expand its dominance by 2019, with almost 40% of global robot supply being sent to just China alone. Right. There's actually so much of demands for robot that Universal Robots recently launched a new online showroom and even a new academy for their consumers. Their showroom is called Universal Robots Plus, and it showcases software, peripherals and accessories from the UR ecosystem. UR means Universal Robots. Mm. And then there's also the UR Academy, which includes free e-learning modules available to all that make up the basic programming training for UR robots. Universal Robots expects the initiative to help support Industry 4.0 or the fourth industrial revolution.
Right. Yeah. And you can check out their online showroom at universal-robots.com/plus/.
Yeah, so now we've got another futuristic story. Yeah. It's like a sci-fi Wednesday today in that sense. So we finally come to a point where virtual reality and augmented reality technology is real. It's a mainstream thing now. Mm. The question is, what comes next? Because right now we can interact with robots and softwares by talking to them and showing them hand gestures. But what if soon we could also actually send them our thoughts, right?
Okay, and that's exactly what the team behind Boston-based startup Neurable are planning to do by developing a software that can actually read your thoughts and send them into a virtual space. News came out last week that Neurable managed to get $2 million in funding from a seed round led by Brian Shin of Boss Syndicate, which is an alliance of regionally focused angel investors in Boston. And this isn't their first cash injection either. Neurable previously took home about $400,000 after winning second place at the Rice Business Plan competition.
Yeah, so basically what Neurable wants to do is make a brain-controlled software the real deal instead of just something you see in sci-fi movies. And according to them, the technology is not far off. They want to make it mainstream and consumer-friendly as well, basically allowing people to walk into their homes or their offices and take control of their devices using a combination of their AR systems via their brain activity.
Okay, so how exactly will this work? Well, there's a thinking cap involved.
Yeah.
Literally.
There's a thinking cap.
So Neurable doesn't want to make its own hardware. Instead, they'll be using the already available electroencephalography EEG devices, which normally looks like a cap or a headband, to transmit the brain waves. So these caps have multiple sensors that can read electrical activity in the brain, and now the goal for Neurable is to take those thoughts and channel them into an action using their custom software, which is great. You know, I think of people who are paraplegic, you know, who cannot move, but the brain is still active. I mean, the Stephen Hawking,
exactly. Yeah. Right. So systems like these are known as brain-computer interface, or BCI, and they're normally used by people with severe disabilities like ALS or other neuromuscular disorders. The big problem with this is that most of these systems are actually very, very slow. Mm. And it can actually take about 20 seconds just to execute a very simple action, like choosing one or two syllables on screen. And I guess, you know, like you mentioned, you know, the best example here is the voice system being used by Stephen Hawking. So we're going to get a bit technical. Okay. So Neurable says that most of the technology out there right now is used for things like meditation and concentration application. And that's why it's slow, because the machine only needs to capture specific sets of brain waves like alpha, gamma, beta to determine if a user is focused or it has irregular brain activity. What the company wants to do is to forget about the specific brain waves and measure something called brain shape, which is a way to know if a thought or a brain activity is more important to the user or just something that happens in the background. It's like, you know, noise in your mind in that sense. And this tech even isn't actually new. It's been around for nearly 40 years. Seriously? Yeah, so Neurable believes that the VR headgear will soon come with built-in EEG sensors to be even more immersive than what we already have now. And because EEG has been used in medical fields for ages, there won't be any real issues in terms of safety of the hardware. And apparently, Neurable is also in talks with major VR and augmented reality makers, but they're not saying exactly who they're working with at the moment, because there's a lot of them. Right now, they're just focused on developing their own software with the big dreams of being the software that runs on every single VR or AR hardware in the future. I mean, this could be so much more than just gaming. See, imagine being able to think and control the lights in your home, or, you know, open your gate, or even work on a computer without even moving your arms in that
sense.
We all
can be
right?
Professor X.
We all could be Professor X. That's right.
And that's all the time we have for today's show. Coming up next at 12:30 p.m., of course, is the Breakfast Grill replay. Today's show is a little bit special as the Morning Run takes a critical look at China's increasing dominance as a global force we've been talking about as well, to be reckoned with, and how this impacts public policy and what 2017 will entail. Of course, you've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Frida Liu, together with Jeff Sandu. You know, we're going to do a song dedication tomorrow. No song dedication. This next song is dedicated to Carrie Fisher, a female hero of our age, according to Star Wars execs. And this is a song by her father, Eddie Fisher, with Wish You Were Here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.